We welcome you tonight to Ballygowan Free Presbyterian Church. We trust the Lord will bless our coming together in His name tonight. Let us all pray. Heavenly Father, we do pray tonight that Thou will bless us as we meet together around Thy Word. We pray that Thou would speak to every heart as we hear the songs of Zion, as we listen to the reading and hear the preaching of Thy Word, that Thou will speak to every heart. We pray in the Savior's name. Amen. We'll commence with the hymn which has been sung in previous services in our church. Number 48, if you have a hymn book there at home, I sing the almighty power of God that made the mountains rise, that spread the flowing seas abroad and built the lofty skies. Let us sing together the words of this hymn. Let us unite together in prayer. Our gracious God and our eternal Father in heaven, we bow in Thy presence tonight in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. And we pray, O God, that Thou wilt meet with us as we meet around Thy word tonight, that Thou wilt speak to every listener. We pray that Thou wilt work in every heart and in every life. O God, we thank Thee that Thou art the answer to every need. We thank Thee, O God, that Thou canst meet each sinner at the point of their need. And we pray that Thou wilt do that tonight. O God, that Thou wilt work effectually and powerfully in hearts and lives. We thank Thee, O God, for the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. That this gospel is a life-changing gospel. A gospel that transforms men and women from children of wrath into children of God. And we pray that tonight, Lord, this message going out in song and in preaching will be used of God for the glory and for the praise and for the honor of Thy name. We pray that Thou wilt work this night even in our midst, that Thou wilt cause Thy blessing to be poured out upon us, that Thou wilt speak in our midst with great power. Help Thy servant who ministers in song. Empower her by Thy Holy Spirit. Use her, O God, as an instrument in Thine hand for Thy glory. And grant, O God, this night, O God, that precious souls will be drawn in faith to Christ. For those who are backslidden, that they may be brought back to Thee. for we who are thy children, that we may be encouraged and that we might be strengthened even through thy word this night. O God, challenge every heart and every life. We pray that thou wilt work in every home, in every individual. And O God, that thou wilt speak with great power this evening. Move across our land, O God, in our sister congregations and everywhere the gospel is truly proclaimed. We pray, O Father, that this night, Lord, by whatever means people are listening in, we pray that they may hear, that their souls might live. We pray, our Father, for comfort for those that need comfort in these days, for healing for those that need that healing touch from the Lord. Remember those who are bereaved of loved ones. We think of our sister Mary in her own congregation and the loss of her brother-in-law. We pray that you'd comfort Mary and her sister and all the family at this time in this loss. O God, may they know the presence of God. And for those who are not saved, they may be brought to know the Savior. Remember our organist at this time too, our brother Robert. We pray for thy healing touch upon him, that thou wilt minister to him. For others in our congregation who are going through treatments, who have loved ones going through treatments, who are waiting, Lord, for appointments or surgery, those who have been through surgery and are recovering, we pray, O God, that thou wilt touch each one at this time. Lord, may they know the presence of the Lord and the healing hand of the great physician. Hear us, Lord, as we call upon your name. Answer our prayers at this time, we pray. And grant, O God, that there may be a visitation of God upon us. And Lord, that there may be the moving of thy Spirit across this land, in the cities and towns and villages, that across Ulster tonight and further afield, across our nation and across the world, there may be a turning to the Lord Jesus Christ in living, saving faith. Do answer prayer, even at this time. We commend ourselves to thy care, and we pray that thou wilt bless our land and meet the needs of our government. Give wisdom and help in all of the decisions they have to make. Give guidance, Lord, in days to come, we pray, that thy presence and thy help will be the portion of each one. So hear us now and bless us with thy presence and do us good. We ask it in Jesus' name for God's eternal glory. Amen. We're glad to have our sister Natasha with us tonight, and she's going to bring her first message and song just now.
I love thee, I know thou art mine. For thee all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art thou. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. Because thou hast first loved me and purchased my pardon on Calvary's tree, I love thee for wearing the thorns on thy brow. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. Glittering crown
Thank you, Natasha, for that ministry and song. May the Lord bless it to our hearts this evening. Could we welcome you again, joining with us, whatever device you're listening in on tonight, in Sermon Audio or Facebook Live or YouTube. We trust the Lord will bless you as you meet with us for our service live from Ballygowan Free Presbyterian Church. Could I just make some announcements at this stage of our service on Wednesday evening for our Bible study and prayer meeting in the church hall at 8 p.m., continuing our studies in the survey of the New Testament. And this week we're looking at the book of Hebrews. You remember, for session and committee members are available to do some necessary work prior to the meeting at 7 p.m. or, if required, immediately after the meeting on Wednesday night. You'll be aware of these details. You remember also on Friday night, the youth council rally. That link will be sent out for the youth to join in on Friday night. Reverend Paul Foster is the speaker, with a special contribution from Mr. Chris Killen, who works among those with addiction problems, and all youth are welcome. Trusting all youth will be able to join in for this province-wide youth rally that's coming by Facebook on Friday evening. Next Lord's Day, the family worship in the church at 11:30, and all health restrictions apply, of course, social distancing, hand sanitizing, face covering. If you have COVID or are isolating because of it, please do not attend. We emphasize all of these, and we trust you will remember them. And then our session have decided that we are continuing for the month of March in the evening time our gospel service online. So the evening service will be online until the end of March. I hope to be the preacher at both services next Lord's Day. It does mark the nearest Sunday to the 70th anniversary of the formation of the Free Presbyterian Church. And we'll have some reflections on that in the services next Lord's Day. Do please remember the services and pray much for God's blessing upon us. Sunday school and Bible class will be commencing soon on Zoom. You'll get word of that as soon as everything is up and running. Do pray for this as well. And pray for all affected by this virus and other illnesses at this time. Do pray for our sister Mary McFadden, who today lost her brother-in-law. And do remember the McFadden family, Mary's family circle, her sister, and so forth at this time. Pray that the Lord will comfort them and be gracious to them. Remember our organist, one of our treasurers too, Robert Catterson, who's going through illness at this time. Pray for Robert that the Lord's healing touch will be upon him. Remember others too that are going through treatments and procedures, recovering from surgeries, or waiting for other procedures. Pray that the Lord's hand will be upon them all at this time. Do pray for our land, for divine intervention at this time. We're thankful for the times of prayer that have been held by our presbytery on Zoom, various times of prayer on various Saturdays, and we trust that you will continue to pray for the Lord's hand to be upon our land and upon our nation. We're thankful for the rolling out of the vaccination program. Many people have received this vaccination, and others are waiting, having received the first one, waiting for the second one. And I have received the first one, so I'm waiting for the second one. And I trust that the Lord will use this means as well to help with the stemming of the spread of this virus at this time. Our sister Natasha is going to come and bring her second message in song to us now. Mercy is more. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Natasha, for that ministry and song. May the Lord bless it to our hearts even tonight. Thank you, Heather, for accompanying Natasha as well. We're going to read the Word of God tonight as we find it in the book of Mark's Gospel, chapter 8. We're in this passage last Sunday night, and we're going to come into this passage again this evening. The 8th chapter of Mark's Gospel, and we're reading from verse 11. Mark chapter 8 and verse 11. And the Pharisees came forth and began to question with him, seeking of him a sign from heaven, tempting him. And he sighed deeply in his spirit, and saith, Why doth this generation seek after a sign? Verily I say unto you, there shall no sign be given unto this generation. And he left them, and entering into the ship, again departed to the other side. The disciples had forgotten to take bread, neither had they in the ship with them more than one loaf. And he charged them, saying, Take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, It is because we have no bread. When Jesus knew it, he saith unto them, Why reason ye because ye have no bread? Perceive ye not yet, neither understand? Have ye your heart yet hardened? Having eyes, see ye not, and having ears, hear ye not? Do ye not remember? When I break the 5 loaves among the 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments took they up? They say unto him, 12. And when the 7 among the 4,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up? And they said, 7. He said unto them, How is it? Ye do not understand. And he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him, and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand, and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. And after that he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up. And he was restored and saw every man clearly. And he sent him away to his house, saying, Neither go into the town nor tell it to any in the town. Jesus went out and his disciples into the towns of Caesarea Philippi. And by the way, he asked his disciples, saying unto them, Whom do men say that I am? They answered, John the Baptist, but some say Elijah, or Elias, and others one of the prophets. And he saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Peter answered and said unto him, Thou art the Christ. And he charged them, they should tell no man of him. And he began to teach them, that the Son of Man must suffer many things, and be rejected of the elders, and of the chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And he spake that again openly, saying openly. And Peter took him and began to rebuke him. But when he had turned about and looked on his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savourest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. When he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Amen. And we know that God will bless to us the reading of his inspired, inerrant, and infallible word. The hymn number 203, I was sinking deep in sin, sinking to rise no more, overwhelmed by guilt within. Mercy I did implore. Then the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. Christ my Savior lifted me. Now safe am I. 203, trust you'll join in at home. And as you hear this hymn, which was sung at a previous service in our church.
come to the pulpit and lead us in the opening prayer after we sing this verse. When the waves of sorrow roll.
Tonight, together in prayer, let us all pray. Our gracious God and eternal Father, as we turn now to thy word, we pray that thou wilt speak to every heart, that thou wilt work a work of grace in hearts and lives this night. I am trusting thee for power. Thine shall never fail. Words that thou thyself hast given me must and shall prevail. Give prevailing words, we pray. We ask it in Jesus' name and for God's eternal glory. Amen. I want to speak tonight from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 8. We're in this passage last Lord's Day evening. We want to come toward the end of the passage tonight. And the subject is the question of the soul. The question of the soul. Mark chapter 8, verses 36 to 37. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Amongst the whole series of questions that were asked by the Lord Jesus Christ in the 8th chapter of Mark's Gospel are these tonight, which we draw your attention to, which relate to man's soul. Questions that are very pointed and personal, and that penetrate to the very depths of the heart. Questions that come to the individual, causing men and women and young people to think about their own mortality, as to where we are going to be in God's eternity. 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 Where will you be in eternity? And the question of the soul is a very interesting and intriguing one. It is also a vitally important question. Something that is at the very center of many a discussion and many a debate. When we think about the soul, we are taken back to the beginning of time, when man was created by God. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7 we read, "And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." Man became a living soul. The soul, the real person, the real you and me. And the Lord Jesus Christ posed these questions that strike right at the heart of the matter this evening. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? the question of the soul. And I pray that the Spirit of God, as we think about this question tonight, or these questions, will cause His Word to come home to your heart. We think first of all about the prophet of the world. What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Is it possible to gain the whole world? You will notice that little word "if" in there. If he shall gain the whole world. No one past or present, or even in the future, has ever or will ever gain the whole world. Oh, they may aspire to gain all of it, but all will fall short. Some have gained a lot of this world. Others have gained a lot more than others. Some have gained just a little of this world, but no one has gained it all. Think of the aspirations of those in power who have sought to gain the whole world. You think of Hitler with all his ambitions, yet he did not gain the whole world, although he sought to. Think of those who were considered the great generals of armies, the great leaders of countries, the great powers of this world, amalgamated together, carrying great power in the positions that they held, and wielding a massive amount of influence where they ruled over others around them. And yet they didn't gain the whole world. Yes, they took territories. They overthrew others. They overturned their enemies. They increased their influence. And what they possessed, as far as the world was concerned, but it didn't amount to the whole world. Take, for instance, Alexander the Great. I cannot bring you a fairer specimen of a man having possession or seeking possession of the whole world than he. He could say of his dominions that although they had their limits, he did not know the nations who were able to bound his territories. He could travel thousands of miles without arriving at the boundaries. He had at his foot millions of armed men ready to avenge his quarrels, uphold his banner. When he rose to fight, it seemed he was invincible. When he stood in his council chamber, his will was law. In his service, thousands were slain, but at his summons, an equal number gathered round his standard. Alexander, I summon thee. What thinkest thou? Is it worth much to gain the whole world? Has he gained it all? No, he has not gained it all, even though he has gained so much territory and had wielded so much power, even though he had so many aspirations and the greatest of ambitions. Yet, he had not gained the whole world as far as power was concerned. And so it can be said of many others, much lesser than Alexander the Great. You think of the world's prosperity. And people say, well, I would like to gain the world's prosperity. The material things of this world. Money. And all of those things that go with it. You think of the multimillionaires and multibillionaires and all the wealth that they have accumulated. And yet they have not gained the whole world in financial terms. There are others who own portions of wealth, greater or lesser. But yet they have not gained the whole world. You can no doubt get a list of people who have accumulated many swathes of the world's wealth. And yet, even If all of it were to be put together, would it amount to all of the world's wealth? Could it be honestly said that this is all the wealth of the world? How could it all be calculated? How could it all be put together? You may be able to add up all of the money and come to a figure. But what about other assets that these people may have, or that others may have as well? Have they gained the wealth of all the world? It was said of Sisera, who had amassed the riches of the world, his wealth was beyond estimation. As for gold and silver, he kept little account of them. His precious stones were without number. He was rich, immensely rich. He could buy an empire, and after that, spend another empire's worth. Yet he had not gained the whole world of riches. How could it be possible to gain all of the world's riches? What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world in terms of power or in terms of prosperity? But then you have the popularity of the world. Has anyone ever gained the whole world in terms of popularity? People may say of this or that leader that they are the most popular person on the planet, but are they really? Someone else will mention another name or names and say that these people are contenders too in the popularity stakes. Maybe it's a world leader. Maybe it's some actor on the stage or screen, or some entertainer. In the era of the Beatles, people said the Beatles had it made in the 60s. They were topping the charts. They were the most popular people in the world. But could it be said they had gained the whole world? As far as popularity was concerned, I think not. Maybe it's an actor or a sportsman or a sportswoman or someone who's an artist or a writer or an orator. You've heard people give such the highest acclaim and seeing to it that they are given the greatest awards that is possible for them to gain in the world in terms of accolades and achievements and honors and the praises of people. It could be said they had the world at their feet. Such was their popularity. But have they gained the whole world? I think not. They have not reached that height. That is the highest point of all, and they fall short. But even if they could have gained all of the power and all of the prosperity and all of the popularity of the world, what profit is there? You think of the world's pleasure. Is it possible to gain the whole world in terms of pleasure? People have involved themselves in the world's pleasures all of their lives. And when they die, they have not gained all of the world's pleasures. Some have traveled the world searching for its pleasure, finding it there and yonder. They have tasted of pleasures innumerable, but they have not gained all of the world's pleasure. Others have spent fortunes on such pleasures in every continent of the world. They have dabbled in a multitude of things. They have drank at the broken cisterns of the world that hold no water. But at the end of it, they have come to realize that the pleasures of sin are but for a season. You think of Solomon, all the pleasures of the world, every sort of pleasure. There was nothing he did not try. He ransacked the world to find joys, yet he had not found every single one of them. And even all that he had found and tried, he concluded, vanity of vanities. All is vanity. These things of the world, these pleasures, flee away. And those who have sought them, and those who have searched for them, and those who have tasted of them, they have not gained the whole world of pleasure. The rich man in Luke chapter 12 may have thought that he had gained all the world. And he said, I will take mine ease. I will eat, drink, and be merry. But it was not the case at all that he had gained all of the world. Belshazzar must have thought he had it made when he threw the party in the palace. But the Bible says in Daniel chapter 5, he was weighed in the balances and found wanting. He was finished as far as his dynasty and his kingdom was concerned. It was the last party he ever had. For the Bible tells us in Daniel 5 and verse 30, in that night, the very night of his party, at the very height of his power, in the midst of all his prosperity, and all of his popularity and all of his pleasure, in that night was Belshazzar, king of the Chaldeans, slain. And so we have drawn your attention tonight to the word of God here. And it talks about the profit of this world. What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world? But then I want to speak secondly to you tonight about the peril of the soul. What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul, the loss of the soul? This is such a loss, my friend, that nothing can restore. You see, we all have souls, a living soul, which God put into man at his creation. He made him a living soul. And the soul lives on forevermore. We talk about our never-dying souls. And whether we know it or not, we all carry about with us something which will live on when our bodies are mouldering in the grave. We have souls for which we have to give an account to God. It is an awful thought when we consider how little attention most people give to anything except this world. People are thinking about this world. And perhaps even now as you're listening to this service, you're thinking about the world, you're thinking about tomorrow, you're thinking about your job, you're thinking about your holidays, you're thinking about your leisure, you're thinking about the world. But my friend, what about your soul tonight? What about your soul? And any person can lose his own soul. He cannot save his soul. Christ alone can do that. But man can lose his soul. In many different ways, he may murder it by loving sin and cleaving to the world. He may poison it by choosing a religion of lies and believing in man-made superstitions. And how many are doing that today? He may starve his soul by neglecting all the means of grace and refusing to receive into his heart the gospel of Christ. What about your soul tonight? Many are the ways that lead to the pit. Whatever way a man takes, he and he alone is accountable for it. Weak, corrupt, fallen, impotent as human nature is, man has a mighty power of destroying, ruining, or losing his own soul. What a loss, my friend. The loss of your soul. What about your soul tonight? The whole world cannot make up a person the loss of their soul. The possession of all the treasures that the world contains cannot compensate for eternal ruin. They would not satisfy us, make us happy while we had them. They could only be enjoyed for a short time at best, but must be left forevermore. Of all unprofitable and foolish bargains that man can make, the worst is that of giving up one's soul salvation for the sake of this present world. And yet how many are doing that? And perhaps even tonight as you listen to this message, you're doing that. It's a bargain of which thousands like Esau, who sold his birthright for a mess of pottage, have repeated. But many unhappily like Esau have repented too late. They have found like him no place of repentance, though they have sought it earnestly with tears. You think of the rich man in Luke 16. He lost his soul. Look at the prosperity he had. The wealth. The finery he had. The food he had. The friends he had. The Bible says in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. Oh, my friend, tonight, what an awful thing to lose your soul. What about your soul tonight? Dear man, dear woman, dear young person, let these words from the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ sink down into your hearts tonight. Words are inadequate to express their importance. What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? The rich man there in Luke 12 was taking his ease. He was eating, drinking, and being merry. But God said to him, Luke 12:20, God said unto him, "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee." What about your soul tonight? What if this night your soul were to be required of thee? How is it with you tonight? How is it between you and God? How is it with your soul tonight? If you're not saved tonight, I put it to you and I suggest to you tonight, your soul is in peril of a lost eternity. And I urge you now, this very moment, to make sure your soul is saved. Come to Christ tonight for salvation. Come now. Think of that question. Ask concerning Abner in the Old Testament. Died Abner as the fool dieth? Died Abner as the fool dieth? Oh, don't die as the fool. But be wise tonight. And consider your latter end and be saved. Even this very moment. Come to Christ. The peril of the soul. Losing your soul. Oh, you're in danger of losing your soul tonight. My dear friend, my dear unsaved soul, I urge you, I plead with you tonight. Don't lose your soul, but let Christ save your soul tonight by inviting him into your heart as your own and personal Savior. Will you do that now, just where you are? But I want you to see, thirdly and finally tonight, the perplexing problem of the soul. Look at verse 37, the question there. Or what shall a man give in exchange for a soul? Is the happiness of heaven with Christ is enough to make up for the loss of life itself for Christ? So the gain of all the world in sin is not sufficient to make up for the ruin of the soul by sin. What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? You know, often in life, we get a fair exchange for maybe some valuable item of furniture or a vehicle or clothing and even property or land. But there's nothing that can be given in exchange for our soul. It is so precious. It is so valuable. It is so important. that there is no exchange that will make up for its loss. What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? In cases in life, we will say of an exchange made, we're better off having made that exchange. It was a good bargain, we would say. Maybe it was, but not so with our soul. What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? The vital thing for us is to make sure our soul is safe. Our soul is saved. Our soul is secure for all eternity. What about your soul tonight, dear person? Have you made sure it's safe and secure and saved for all eternity? You say, preacher, how can I make sure that my soul is saved? Well, you can make sure tonight that your soul is saved by repenting of your sin, turning from it, forsaking it utterly. You can make sure that your soul is saved by taking Christ as your Savior, receiving Him to your heart right now. But to as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in His name. Will you do that tonight? Will you repent of your sin? Will you receive Christ as your Savior? If you will, then, my friend, you will be safe in the arms of Jesus. And your soul at death will immediately pass into the presence of the Savior for the souls of believers. According to our shorter catechism definition, to immediately pass into glory. To immediately pass into the presence of our Savior. You look at Luke chapter 16, Lazarus, the poor man, at his death. He was carried into the Lord's presence, where he received eternal comfort. He had very little comfort as far as material things in this life were concerned. But friend, the main thing was, he had eternal comfort. He was forever with the Lord. He was carried into the presence of the Savior. Now he is comforted, the Bible says, while the rich man was tormented in a lost eternity. You will be comforted tonight, forever. Your soul will be comforted for all eternity if you will trust Christ now, if you will take Him now into your heart and life, if you will settle the question of your soul. Remember a dear man many years ago. I visited him over and over again. He rejected Christ over and over again. His daughters said to me, Dad is very ill. And I went again to see him. And this time he was far through. And one day as I was visiting with him, I read to him some words of Scripture. He pulled himself up in the bed. And that day, as I named him by his name, spoke to him about his soul, he said, Mr. Smiley, I want to get saved now. And that day he sought the Lord and was saved. And only a matter of a few weeks later, I was called to that hospital ward again. He was dying. And while I was there, the family gathered around. He passed into the presence of the Savior with a smile on his face. Why? Because he had made sure his soul was saved. Oh, my friend, tonight I urge you. I plead with you. If it's the last time I ever have opportunity to do it, if it's the last time I ever plead for your soul, I do it tonight with all earnestness, in all sincerity. I urge you tonight. What about your soul? Make sure your soul is saved. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for a soul? The question of the soul. May God write his word upon your heart and bring you savingly to Christ, even tonight, for his honor, his praise, and his glory. Returning to the closing hymn, 233, once again the gospel message from the Savior you've heard. Will you heed the invitation? Will you turn and seek the Lord? Come believing, come believing. Come to Jesus, look and live. Come believing, come believing. Come to Jesus, look and live. 233, it's a hymn that's been sung on a previous occasion in our church services. I trust you'll join in at home and think about the words and come tonight, if you're not saved, to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Thank you for listening to the service from Ballygowan Free Presbyterian Church this evening. Trust that God will write his word upon your heart. If you're not saved, do make contact with us. If you're concerned or troubled, do message us, and do call us on the phone. We're happy to speak to you about these things, to show you from God's word the way of God's salvation. May God bless you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray tonight that thou will bless thine own word. It's gone forth in weakness, but Lord, drive it home with power. And grant, Lord, that tonight it'll be a saving word to hearts, that souls tonight will come and trust the Savior. We pray in Jesus' name for God's eternal glory. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest, remain, and abide with you all, both now and forevermore. Amen.